Good morning and welcome to our podcast. My name is David Pritchard, Head of Marketing here at Sintins, joined again by my colleague, Associate Catherine Hope from the employment team here at Sintins. Our podcast today, which will last approximately 10 minutes, is the podcast version of our most recent employment focus. The written version is on the website, www.sintins.co.uk. And today, Catherine is going to discuss the menopause, a time for transition of awareness within the workplace. So without any further ado, straight over to Catherine. Catherine, good morning and over to you.
Thanks, David. Good morning, everyone. As David mentioned when he talked about the topic we're focusing on, it's important to acknowledge there has been a recent recognition of the need for a change of awareness in the workplace when it comes to menopause. And it has been, as you're probably aware, quite a hot topic for some time over the last year. And that's been for a variety of reasons, really. It's important to note that for employers, it affects 50% of the population, and we have more people between the ages of 45 and 55 who are going to be experiencing and going through the menopause working than ever before. And in terms of symptoms that people are noting in terms of experiencing, these include hot flushes, tiredness, poor memory, concentration problems and bladder issues, as well as symptoms of anxiety and low mood. It's also just important to be aware in the workforce that transgender men and people who are intersex or identify as non-binary may also experience menopause and any associated symptoms. In terms of the acknowledgement of a need for change, something that's been documented is the suggestion that the potential reason for driving older women to leave the workforce has been the menopause. And just from an employment law perspective, it is something that's been coming up more frequently in employment tribunal claims over recent years. So we thought then it's really something to focus on from an employment perspective. So in terms of being a hot topic in the news, it was in the news earlier this year because, as you will be aware, there was a shortage of hormone replacement therapy, and it led to the government appointing a new HRT czar and also introducing temporary rationing to try and resolve those issues. But in terms of when it came into discussion, this really goes back to last July, when this was when the House of Commons Women and Equality Select Committee launched an inquiry into workplace issues surrounding the menopause. And that was set up to examine existing discrimination legislation and workplace practices. And that was really to consider whether enough is being done to prevent women leaving their jobs as a result of menopausal symptoms or suffering other adverse consequences. And that's also been supported by the Menopause Support and Services Bill, which had its second reading debate last October. That's just something that's running in the background. Now, earlier this year, the committee heard evidence as to whether menopause should be a protected characteristic under the Equality Act 2010. As you'll be aware, there are a number of protected characteristics already covered by the Equality Act, such as age, sex, disability, sexual orientation. There are 9 of those, and it was looking at whether menopause should be a standalone further protected characteristic. And it also published the finding of a survey it carried out. And among its findings, it found that nearly 1/3 of women had taken time off due to menopause symptoms. And in terms of those that were documented, those included memory or concentration and stress. In terms of most recent reports, last week, the committee actually published the report Menopause in the Workplace. And importantly, in terms of what's come out of that, there was an immediate request for government to look at introducing Section 14 of the Equality Act, which would allow dual discrimination claims, which isn't currently possible under the Equality Act. But also it's asked for the government to consult within the next 6 months on making menopause an individual protected characteristic, and also including a duty to make reasonable adjustments for menopausal employees, as there is currently for those who are disabled. So in terms of the current position, for employers, there is the Health and Safety at Work Act 1974, and there's the obligation in that for providing a safe working environment and ensuring your employees' health, safety and welfare at work. So that's going to include employees' working conditions when it comes to experiencing menopausal symptoms, and including that and considering that when looking at risk assessments. From a discrimination perspective, and we're really focusing on that because that is something that the committee has called upon to be considered, when we're looking at the Equality Act at the moment, menopause is not in itself a protected characteristic. But what we've seen in recent case law is that some employees have been able to rely on other protected characteristics to successfully bring claims, those really being sex, age, and disability. And there have been a number of cases in recent years, and I just thought it useful to touch upon some of the examples of claims that have successfully been brought, just for employees to be aware of going forward. There was the case of Davies, and that was against the Scottish Courts and Tribunal Services. Now, she claimed unfair dismissal and discrimination arising from disability. And this was when she was disciplined and dismissed as a result of perimenopause symptoms. And that included forgetfulness and confused behaviour. And she was disciplined as a result of those, but it was actually found that she was disciplined as a result of something arising in consequence of a disability. So that's just showing the example of where actual menopausal symptoms can amount to a disability under the Equality Act. Obviously, it's going to still be a case-by-case basis, but it is something to be aware of when you're looking and dealing with matters involving menopausal symptoms. It was also the case of Merchant and BT PLC. And in that, the claimant brought a claim of direct sex discrimination and unfair dismissal. Now, she'd been actually dismissed following a final written warning for poor performance. And she had interestingly given her manager a letter from a doctor explaining that she was experiencing menopausal symptoms and how that could affect her concentration. Now, when she was dismissed, her manager chose not to carry out any further medical investigation. So obviously you would be expected to do that, certainly when it's been brought to your attention by a medical professional. And also it was something that placed them in breach of BT's actual performance management policy. The Employment Tribunal held that the manager would not have adopted that, and it referred to it as a bizarre and irrational approach with other non-female related conditions. Also, randomly, the manager in that case had referred to his own wife's experience as relevant evidence. So it's just showing the importance of needing to consider, as with all medical conditions and how they may affect an employee, investigate that and consider how it may be affecting things such as conduct or performance and whether it's an explanation behind those. It was also the case of A versus Bon Marché Limited in administration. And in that, the claimant was successful in bringing a claim of sex and age harassment. And in this case, the employee worked in retail and had done for 37 years and was a high achiever. Now, in 2017, she began to go through the menopause, and she was subject to demeaning and humiliating behaviour from her manager in front of younger staff. And she was referred to as a dinosaur in front of customers and was continually criticised for on an unreasonable basis. Now, she complained to that to higher management and no action was taken. So as a result of that, she suffered a breakdown. And the management was extremely cold and threatening towards her upon her return. And that ultimately led to her resignation. So again, that's the example of the response or lack of response really there in terms of someone's treatment. And that can then fit into other protected characteristics under the Equality Act. Finally, there was Best versus Embark on Raw Limited. And in that case, claimant successfully claimed harassment, and she was able to show that she'd been subject to a humiliating environment, and her dignity was violated when she was asked about the menopause and whether she was menopausal, when she made it quite clear she didn't want to discuss that. She was also successful in a victimisation claim because she was accused of moaning and being paranoid and petty when she raised the complaint, and she was actually given a verbal warning and dismissed because of raising those complaints. So it's just interesting to look at, although at the moment we don't have that menopause as a protected characteristic, there are avenues in which employees can bring other claims under the Equality Act. So in terms of, it's be useful to see really what happens from the report that was published last week and the recommendations to the government. I think in the meantime, it's really important for employers to consider what they can do to raise awareness and guidance within the workforce. Now, in the report last week, the committee actually stated some things that could be useful in terms of allowing additional flexibility and understanding and fostering a greater respect and understanding of the menopause. So I think in terms of things that you could be doing, many employers are doing this already and have introduced these things over the last year, if they're not already in place, is making sure there's really a supportive environment where employees, if they want to, feel able to raise issues, to speak in confidence without feeling embarrassed or that there'll be a negative consequence. I think in doing that, it's really important to note that not all employees will want to speak about it, and it's not forcing them to do so, but making sure that if people want to and need to, they will feel comfortable, and that they're appropriate people, that they will feel comfortable speaking to you about that. Training. I think thinking about training staff in order to increase awareness of the menopause and symptoms, that will be really beneficial, particularly in terms of managers who may be then dealing with performance or conduct issues if they arise. They really need to be aware and flag any issues that could have an impact on work and how they should appropriately and fairly deal with those. Also, if they should be, you know, informing other members of staff if those things arise. Having a clear menopause policy, so it's clear in terms of raising awareness and discouraging discrimination, and confirming your commitment to an open and honest discussion about it where that needs to take place. Also, flexible working, and that was mentioned specifically in the report last week, how individuals can work flexibly where necessary to enable them to continue to do their job. I think we'll really need to see what happens in action in response to the report last week. And it'd be interesting actually to see if there is any legislative change. I think in the meantime, you need to be aware of potential discrimination claims that may arise as a result of treatment. of employees who may be experiencing symptoms associated with the menopause, and it's really important to raise that awareness with staff. In the meantime, do look out for guidance. There's some really useful ACAS guidance on menopause at work, and that can be found on their website, acas.org.uk. Obviously, if you do have any questions, please get in touch to let us know. We're happy to deal with any of those, but we hope to hear from you and look forward to our next focus. Thank you.
Thanks, Catherine. Very quickly for me, we continue to record and release our webinars, podcasts and blogs, all of which can be found on our website, www.sintons.co.uk, should you wish to take a look. And that includes all episodes of the Employment Focus, all episodes of our Employment Update, and all of the monthly live Q&As as well. So there's a lot of content on there if you'd like to take a look. And you can also follow the employment team on Twitter at SintonsHR. If you'd like to discuss anything that Catherine has raised today further, please don't hesitate to get in touch with her or a member of the team. Catherine can be contacted via telephone 0191 226 7878 or via email catherine.hope@sintons.co.uk. Thank you once again for listening. Stay safe, everyone, and we will see you for the next focus. Take care. Thank you.